Sit.
Okay, never mind. Want to do Zip Zap Zoop?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Zip.
Zap.
Let's just start the dip.
That was a good warm-up. Moet, are we rolling?
Yes, Red.
Of course we are.
Bet we are.
It's Loser Leaves Wrestling. This is the Woos and Whats of AEW Dynamite. This is just the Woos. This is just the Woos. We're just talking about the good stuff of this Dynamite because this was the memorial, the Brody Lee Memorial Show, I guess is what it's called, right? And tribute to Brody Lee. Did it have any specific name?
Tribute of Life?
Yeah, Tribute of Life.
Tribute or something? Yeah, something like that.
Something real sweet like that. Very sweet. Boy, howdy. What a week it's been. Seeing all the nice stuff about Brody Lee. A lot of positive things to see. Very sweet things. Very cryy things. Moet, you asked me before this show if it got me. And it got me.
Yeah. Did it get you? That's the,
That 10-bell salute was rough.
That's the insecure way of asking if it made you cry, because makes me uncomfortable.
That that 10-bell salute was rough. Seeing Colt Cabana's face at all was rough.
Yeah, yeah, everybody. Yeah, the ending package. I didn't expect to see WWE stars in it as well. I just thought they'd be too, I don't know. They've been really... WWE has done a good job as a tribute. I'm glad that they... Like, the whole wrestling community is behind this. It's not a weird, partisan issue, I guess, because of factions or something.
Let's just talk about the first woo of the night. Was that, for me, is the fact that, this show, more than anything else, felt like a... And they said it before. Moxley said it. It felt like a family. It felt like a family affair. It felt like a real community effort, and it was very sweet. It was very sweet throughout.
Yeah. Yeah, it felt, I don't know. Yeah, it felt like everyone cared for each other. It wasn't, it was just an incredible tribute show. A very good mix of, the matches were all great.
All of them were fun.
Great action. A lot of emotion, good comedy throughout. I'm thinking of Colt Cabana and starting it with Colt and ending it with Orange Cassidy. I just thought good comic relief and sort of escapism to bring us back out.
A lot of levity where it was needed. A lot of seriousness when it was deserved. And one of the things is, if WWE comes at AEW saying you use Bray Wyatt in your picture, I hope they get torched.
They
get burned down. That's good stuff. I shouldn't say that right next to a terrorist attack recently. I don't hope any burning. No one gets burned. I just hope they get bad emails.
I guess so. Yeah. Yeah. Red. Get them, Red.
Yeah. I'll send them one. You better believe it. What big highlights? What was one of your big highlights of the night that really, you thought was really cool, really got you, or really thought was worth mentioning?
I thought the ending to the good, the bad, the hungy match against MJF and Proud and Powerful with -1 hitting MJF with the kendo stick, and then immediately Eric Rowan appearing.
Yeah.
And it was a whole, all of that. Actually, yeah, he hits it with the kendo stick, and then John Silver gets to do Brody's finisher, the discus lariat. And then Eric Rowan comes out. Real powerful emotional stuff. What'd you think of that sequence?
First thing, it's cool to see Eric the Red, I think he's called. Eric the Red. Redbeard or something like that. I don't know what he's called, but I love how Jericho kept saying, Eric Rowan, and then you hear Excalibur, Redbeard! and he said it 3 or 4 times, Eric Rowan's back, Redbeard! You just hear him scream over it, which was
That's what he was doing.
It was very funny. It was very funny. He was just trying to be do not say the copyrighted name.
That's good.
But it was cool to see him back. By the way, he just looks like a fucking giant in this land. He just looks ridiculously tall. But John Silver looked and I hate to say it on this show, but he looked like a star. He looked like this just shows that when given the opportunity, he could be such a baby face, such a fiery baby face.
Wait, what? I missed it. Why do you think? Why do you hate to say that on this show? What,
just
what
because
mean?
I hate to think that there's someone was made a star on the Brody Lee Memorial Show.
Oh, this particular show. I thought you meant our show, like the podcast.
Oh no,
or something. I'm like,
no,
we don't have that much clout.
The people in Canada, some of the people in Spain, and that one person in Japan love it. They love
it. That's true. I mean, it's been sort of confirmation for all of 2020 of John Silver just kicking ass the entire year and really slowly building into this like stardom.
Interesting. If we were to like see some sort of compilation or some sort of video about John Silver, where would we look, Mohit?
Oh, I'm glad you asked, Red. Actually, we just released a video on John Silver on the YouTube page, Loose Leaves Wrestling YouTube page.
What?
Oh, you bet. Oh, you what? Bet. You everyone, go out there.
You should check out our YouTube page at Loser Leaves Wrestling and check out this new John Silver video because it's just about to break the internet, if you hadn't noticed. And you should check it out. That's a great idea, Moet. Actually, that's very
We did not plan that. That was...
This is... we're getting better.
Yeah.
We're getting better at this.
No, but for real, it was building up, and I thought they got to play like the face side of the tag team, so you got to see John Silver really like rip it, mm-hmm. you know, and just knock out everybody, and he looked like $1 million, like you said.
Really did. And like the announce team sounded so impressed with John Silver, because like, you know, everyone likes his character and people are really into it, but they're just like, holy crow, like they're like JR said something about him like, anyone order a white meat baby face or something like that. It was very sweet. I appreciated all the support for him.
I thought, and then they did the papers gag, Red. They all did the papers gag, and even Hangman had like the papers like guns, you know. That made me cry.
Yeah.
I didn't think a lot of papers would get me, you know. But here we are. You know, it was. I'm so invested in being the elite.
Yeah,
and that's did you see the latest episode?
Yeah,
the tribute.
I saw AEW Dark, and then I saw Being the Elite, and it ended right before the show started. So I was already crying, but I was also like, it was very like, because I didn't really get into Being the Elite as early as you have been. So when I started watching, it was late summer, when like I was seeing the Brody Lee stuff, but I didn't understand the papers necessarily. I saw it, but I didn't get that months of context of him using the papers. And then by the time I was watching it steadily, he was already on hiatus. So I didn't really get to see really experience it. But that video package they showed on Being the Elite was really great, with explaining the importance of the papers.
Yeah, there was a period, I mean, they show it in the video, of course, the tribute, but there was a period where that was like the main running gag in the Dark Order. Like, you're going to see it even before Silver became a big deal on BT. It's like the Dark Order, they're going to bring out the papers at some point, and he's going to just rocket it at Uno's head or John Silver's head, and it's going to be very funny. And it was the best part of Being the Elite for probably like 5 weeks or something. More. So it was nice to see it come back.
And it was a beautiful match. And MJF really ripped the hell out of that mask off of -1. When he went to go rip the mask off of him, he pulled some hair too.
Like, yeah, it was kind of weird. He was like extra dickish to the kid. It just felt like not the place to do this. I mean, I know he was getting a reaction, sure. But like maybe.
I think the kid was into it though. In all honesty, if I was a kid and I was gonna be hassled by a wrestler, I would love it. I would love for them to get my face and hit me.
I know. You've done that. I wanted Rodney Mack to hit me.
Rodney Mack, he got my face one time, and I was just like, hit me, and he didn't do it.
Please, you got stars in your eyes.
I was very excited.
Part of the show. Yeah. No, I know the kid's in it. It just felt uncomfortable. Like, you know, I don't know. They walked a fine line, like especially with the Acclaimed coming out before. Like, I thought for sure they were gonna just like, you know, torpedo the whole show by like reminding us, you know, that bad people exist in the world. You know?
I love that they to talk about the Acclaimed, because that was right after the Private Hardy Young Bucks match. It was the opener.
Private Hardy. I call it the Matt Hardy Party.
Oh, Matt Hardy, the Hardy Party's better.
Yeah.
Why do they call it Private Hardy? That's terrible.
Yeah, I've never heard that before.
I think they call it Hardy Party, and I don't know why he said Private Hardy, because it sounds like he's a trooper.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
Yeah, that's weird. That's a weird okay. that I went there. But that cult, seeing Colt's face in the beginning. And by the way, though, like besides the fact that he was absolutely devastated because of the news, and everyone was, Colt was on fire in this match. I've never seen him with such energy. Like, he was giving his all, and everything he did looked amazing. And he was so fast. He was incredibly fast today. It was really cool to see. That was also, all the matches were great. But when Acclaim came out, I literally wrote my what's as they were coming out. And they didn't even get to say anything. And SoCal SCU stopped them, which was fun. Yeah. It was sweet.
Oh, it's fun. Yeah. Going back to Colt, one of the things I loved about this episode is getting to see the Dark Order come out every single match.
Yeah.
And they, Stu, that's actually the first time I realized that they do the exact same entrance every single time. Yeah. It's just one of those things I don't really think too hard about, or I'm not paying attention, you know, but yeah, it makes me feel foolish because it is literally just Stu comes out first and then Uno kind of comes out from like screen right and does a little hand gesture thing, you know, on his way over. But it brought me a lot of comfort to see the exact, like, how much energy they put into that entrance every single time.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Yeah. Just all of their matches were so good. It not just Colts, right? Like, yeah, felt like everybody was just trying so hard, you know,
was no stinker in the night. There was no match I didn't want to see. I appreciated them all. Yeah, but that was very fun. The Dark Order and Lance Archer versus Eddie Kingston and Butcher and the Blade. That mm-hmm. was real fun because with Eddie Kingston, my favorite part of the match is Eddie Kingston. He he comes out, he says like, "Oh, I love you, Brody, but now you guys are weak, whatever." And during the match, he points at Jake and gives a DDT.
I like that, yeah.
And then Jake comes in and gives a short arm clothesline, which yeah. I loved. I was so happy. And he gave a good one. He didn't look like he was about to fall.
Yeah, it was good to see him join in for the first time. And I don't know. I don't think he's done that.
I don't think he ever has. Yet. I was afraid he was going to do it at DDT. I'm like, Jake, don't.
Yeah, you're going to hurt your butt.
He's going to hurt his butt.
You're going to land. Yeah, you're going to sit down too hard, hurt your butt.
He has a missing foot. Like, not his whole foot, but half of his foot is missing.
What happened to it? Where'd it go?
I think diabetes.
Oh, shoot.
He has a portion of his foot taken away. And so, I'm just like, that short arm clothesline was a miracle. That was a gift from God. And Jake did a good job with it. Jake did a real good job with it.
Yeah, I like that. Eddie's video promo was rough. Mm. Oh, my gosh. That was hard to watch.
It was very
hard to listen to. Yeah. There are a couple lines in that really, yeah. The thank you for believing in me when I didn't believe in myself. That was, oof. Yeah,
it was very touching. It was very touching. And Eddie Kingston, I hate on Eddie Kingston a lot, and it's not gonna end. But today he was I really appreciated that video, and also he did a great job in the match. He had it was a really fun match. He did a great job, and Lance Archer coming out in a Luke Harper attire.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, my favorite version of him. That's it's the old school Brody Lee. I mean, I guess that's he looked like that as Luke Harper too. Mm. But you know,
yeah.
Even so,
I just wish that he had stains on his shirt.
That would yeah, I like that look a lot.
It was too clean of a shirt.
Yeah,
it was too clean of a shirt. And I loved throughout the night they were all using Brody moves.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun. That was a real fun thing.
Yeah. That discus lariat that John Silver did was just so good.
It was beautiful.
Yeah. I particularly enjoyed. I mean, it was. It was sad to see him break down crying. But then Eric Redbeard came out and yanked him up. Right. And, it made me laugh a little bit. I don't know. I don't know. It's a weird moment to say, cause it was so much emotion, but John Silver, you know, hugging Eric, it was kind of the Sting Darby Allin situation. I'm just like, they look exactly the same. It's like a little version of the big version, you know, it was very, you know, two bald, long bearded men holding each other. It was very touching.
Yeah. 100%. The main event, was pretty cool. With the Brody Lee Jr.'s favorite wrestlers versus Team Taz, which are the perennial whipping post for AEW. Yeah, it was a fun match, and I thought Orange Cassidy did a great job. Everyone really did a great job. Everyone just did a great job. Orange Cassidy was the best Orange Cassidy he's been since John Silver. Everything was fun. Like, he did new things, like the shoulder block, which he doesn't usually do. Just a few things that he did. Like, he went to go break up a pin, and he did it, and, like, he went over it, and he just kind of pushed them over, which was very funny.
He did the Dark Order sign, but it was, like, the limp Dark Order. It was pretty funny.
It was good.
It was good. Yeah, yeah. It helped to have him with an audience, too. Like, very supportive audience that makes all the, you know, the silly, it makes the comedy actually work when everyone's behind it.
Uh-huh.
So fun. So fun.
100%.
Sting and Darby Allin together. That's news. You know, they find, like, it was good plot progression. They're finally together. It's like, so I guess as a tag team or mentorship or something, but it's exciting.
Tony Schiavone says it every single week. So it feels like it means nothing, but he has a presence. Like, he, like, when he walks out, he looks stoic. He looks epic. He looks like an epic person. And he still looks good, even with his hair looking the way it does. No, I'm not trying to belittle his hair. He looks really good. And to see him with Darby Allin is a cool package.
They look awesome together. Yeah. They look like they're in a manga. Like, Darby Allin has, like, a perfect manga face, just, like, very chiseled, like, yeah, profile, you know? And he's got the good moody look that's in every manga, you know?
And Sting does, too. Page. Sting has a very angular face, very, like, brooding. Brooding.
I'm such a fan of every time they, like, pose and do the brooding thing, like... I'm like, God, that's just all of my, you know, childhood hopes and dreams. Wrestling anime.
You know how they take comic books sometimes and they just like an old comic book character, and they just give them a new look, a new jazzed up feel. Like, remember Aquaman, how he used to look, and now the Aquaman with a beard and like a hook hand and like a trident beside him, like long hair. It's just like Sting, and then new Sting has got skateboard half face paint. It feels like new 90s kids are reimagining their old favorite characters.
Oh God, yeah, it's like Batman Sting and then Teen Titans Darby Allin.
100%. Right? He is Teen Darby Teen Allin Sting. Is the Teen Titans Sting. That's amazing. That's really good.
That's really funny.
Then when Sting came out, the snow was coming, right? But the snow only seemed to go towards Team Taz, and they started getting covered with it. And then you saw Taz be like, "What the hell is this? Snow? What kind of snow is this?" You see him screaming, like looking at the snow peak, amazed that they're covered in snow.
I was too busy at watching Ricky Starks like swat at the snow like they're flies. I thought, they work well together, him and Taz.
And thank God, because I'm sorry, Darby Allin is never a threat when he comes to the ring, but Sting and Darby Allin, like together with their weapons, could make a difference. So I appreciate them always being together. Either one separately makes no sense as a threat.
It's true. It's true. Yeah. I went through the same thought process when they got in the ring. I'm like, oh, okay, this feels like a real fight. Like this, like I like where this is going.
Yeah.
This could be good. Yeah, one thing I wanted to ask that I actually was a little confused about was when Tony Khan came out in the ring. So right before they ran the final video package, they brought in the Brody Lee's family, and then Tony Khan presented -1 with the TNT title.
Yeah,
and he said champion for life. What does that mean with the title itself, or is that like a?
I think it's symbolic.
Is it a symbolic thing?
Okay. I'd assume so, because Darby Allin was still holding his championship.
Okay. Yeah, I don't mean it like, you know,
champion. You're upset something. That you're like, wait a second. When is this kid gonna defend it?
What's it? But more of like if they're retiring the belt or doing something like, you know,
that'd be really depressing if they retired it after three people. That'd be
That is a little
not even three people. Three people. It's Cody, then Brody, then Darby. Right.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, Brody, Cody backed again. Yeah, Darby. But
did you hear the news about Brody Lee Jr.?
Yeah, the contract,
his development deal for the next 20 years. It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I thought that was pretty cool because, like, it's basically saying to his mom, oh, like, we're going to take care of you for life, essentially. We're going to be there for you, which I thought was cool.
Barb, when she found out, she was just like, well, that could backfire. What if he turns out to be a bad wrestler? And I'm like, we'll figure it out in 10 years. Yeah. Like, just let them have the moment
now. Yeah, yeah. And I'm assuming, but my thing is like, what if he wants to be a truck driver? You know, like, he wants to be anything else. Like, is he going to have to hand over the money? You know, like,
goes to Tony, like, you need any truck drivers?
Yeah.
got a job for life.
You got a job. If he wants to be a pediatrician, what's going to happen?
Yeah,
an astronaut. That'd be sweet.
AEW Space.
They got the money. They got the money. They got the money. My one gripe with the show is Cody coming out through the fucking gate in the middle.
I'm tired of it.
Is that wait, is that new? Is that old?
No, he's been doing it since he started. So, it's been a thing this whole time. Yeah.
Really? Have I just
never
noticed?
They always turn off the lights.
I know that.
I think so. Yeah, they always turn out the lights and then the big shocking red thing, and then he doesn't pick the heel or face entrances. He has his own entrance where the gates open, and then he rises from the bottom with all the smoke. Yeah, it's terrible.
I did not know he came from the middle. I always thought he came from a tunnel.
Yeah, they did it that way on the first AEW pay-per-view. I guess it was. I think it was Double or Nothing.
Well, he rose.
He did that.
He rose from the bottom.
Yep. Yeah, well, he did, but it was the exact same thing where the middle opened up. So I just thought it was like, oh, that's a cool rant, you know, epic pay-per-view entrance. And then he just kept that entrance for last year.
I like the fact that Sting has an epic entrance. I think you have to, and I'm fine with Cody having epic entrances for pay-per-views.
Yeah, that's
but
fun.
Like Triple H doesn't do right out on his fucking Harley with skull helmet on for his regular matches. He only does it for big pay-per-views, you know?
Right. Yeah. And plus, it's nobody else does. Well, actually, you're right. Sting is the only other person now that does it. But it's been a year of nobody else having a fancy entrance consistently, except for Cody.
I guess Kenny Omega is starting to get one.
Oh, actually, yeah, you're right. Yeah,
just started.
The girls and the announcer. I like that. I like his entrance.
Yeah. I do too. Cody should watch it. Unless it's, I just want something to lead from it. But that was a fun episode. And besides Rick Knox ignoring a chair while he was looking at it.
That was, actually, I wrote that down. I just haven't been looking at the notes because, you know. But yeah, Jericho yelled, what did he yell? Look at that idiot Rick Knox, moron! That's all he said. But it was just one of those perfect moments of comedy where I see... You know, I see Rick Knox and I'm like, what a moron. And then have him immediately be like, look at him. Look at that idiot. Like, it was just like, it just hit that one part of my brain. Like, oh, perfect timing.
Yeah.
So
it was very funny. Yeah. He was just staring at a guy with a chair on the apron for what seemed like 30 seconds for someone else to deal with the spot rather than run over and try to stop it. I don't know. It was just very silly.
Yeah. It's just one of those silly, like, dumb ref tropes that, you know. I don't know.
And
it's fine. They'll figure it out eventually.
And one thing that I was upset that they didn't finish off is Taz and Arn in a chair fight. I wanted them to go dueling chairs, swatting back and forth. Like, they were just standing there forever, threatening. They should have started clacking.
It was a little awkward. Yeah, I think they could have managed that at least.
Yeah.
Neither of them want to get hit. Just a little bang, bang,
yeah,
bang.
Yeah, just do some sword
left,
fighting.
Right, left.
And they're both capable. They're both athletes. Even though they're older, they could swing a chair to hit the other person's chair.
Yeah.
And not hit each other's hands.
And that's enough time for them to do their big triple team finisher or whatever. If we're getting into it, why even have the distraction in the first place?
There's
everyone
no
cheats anyways all the time.
Yeah, there's no
so
reason.
Why don't just who cares? Yeah. Who cares if the ref sees it?
I would love a character to come in and be like I want Tully to be like, we've got to enforce the rules because he's with FTR and he should get some sort of power position that gets that has that kind of say. I want Tully to be the general manager, essentially.
Oh, but to enforce the rules on every
ref.
Every match.
Every ref.
That's...
And he's just like, listen, this is going to change now because I'm tired of it. There was another instance where I don't want to get nitpicky with this episode because it's a really beautiful episode. But Proud and the Powerful just jammed their thumb into, I think, Alex Reynolds' eye. jam their thumb, and then what's her name? The ref, what's her name?
Oh, Aubrey.
Aubrey was just like, come on. Like, it's just right in front of her. And she's just like, what? Like, are you going to pretend? Like, there should, one, what there should be. If there's things like that, three strikes, you're out. Three strikes, yeah. if they see something illegal, you're out.
Something. At one point, Evil Uno was going to do the hot tag to Lance Archer, and he does the dive, but he completely misses. He just swats air, and Lance Archer, like, he's, you know, because it's,
he's all
like, instinctual, he starts going, but he's like, boy, but I didn't get the tag, and he goes back out, and he stares at Uno, and then he hears the crowd, he's like, screw it, and so he didn't get the tag, he just
that.
Went in.
That's very
yeah,
funny.
It was a small moment, but it's, because it doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter in the long run. Pick, you know, the big picture, but it was very funny to see him being like, the rules, I know, you know, everyone's like getting honest about the rules, screw it.
I love that he had that conflict, and I appreciate the conflict, even though he went against the right instincts. He did the right thing because nobody else cares.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah,
so he's gotta do what he's gotta do. But any other big takeaways from tonight, Moet? Any other things that you wanna say?
No, it was a beautiful show.
Beautiful
and,
show.
You could really see how much everyone loved Brody Lee. Very powerful.
Very powerful. Very sweet. We're thankful, and we thank Brody Lee for all the things he's done. He was a great guy. Everyone says he's a great guy, and we believe it too here at Loser Lee's Wrestling. We're going to go on record and say Brody Lee, good guy. Right, Moet?
Yeah, not bad. Yeah, not bad.
Not bad. Not bad at all. Not bad at all.
Not bad ones.
Hey, I'll take seconds. Thank you all so much for listening to Loser Lee's Wrestling, the woos of AEW Dynamite, celebrating the life of Brody Lee. Thank you all for listening. Follow us on YouTube so you can see that sweet John Silver video that just popped out.
Yes.
Follow us at Loser Lee's Wrestling. Send us your mail. Send us some emails to ask the mailman.
Mailbag. Yeah. Mailbag Moet.
At Loser Lee's Pod at Gmail. And make sure to follow us on Instagram for all that sweet, sweet content that's being pumped out daily. Loser Lee's Wrestling. On Instagram. My name is Red Jefferson. I'm with Moet Jazzwall. I'm with
Moet Jazzwall.
Was that an impersonation of me saying it?
Well, I had to, yeah.
It was good.
Yeah,
it was
use both. We can use either take. That's good. What I'm just giving, yeah.
It was good, but you sounded like Elvis when you said it. The way you said it, and I was just like, do I sound like Elvis?
I didn't know I said it. Yeah, you might. I do notice the similarity now that you mentioned it.
Moet, if you were a mailman, what would you write to Santa?
Please save the United States Postal Service.
That's a really good one. Thank you all so much for listening. Bye. Good night.
Goodbye.